I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
And Lord, we thank you for the way that we are able to support one another in many, many different ways. How you've called us together to be your people, brothers and sisters in Christ, in so many different circumstances. Continue to guide us as we use all our gifts and all our resources to bring glory and honor to your name. Amen. You may be seated. In one way, I feel like I'm shifting everything a little bit with the sermon. We're moving on with the great ends of the church, and we're looking at truth and what truth is about. And so it is a little shift for us on this emotional Sunday, but maybe that's good that we look at truth and even in the midst of our emotions here today. Chapter 8 of John, and I'll be reading verses just 31 and 32 of this gospel reading. And so Jesus said to those who believe in him, "If you obey my teaching, you are already my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. Well, while I was this week, as you know, I went to Princeton Seminary, and for a person who graduated from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, going to Princeton Theological Seminary is a lot like going to like going to a Patriots game. Yeah. Yeah, I knew that would get something. But going to Pittsburgh, it was our rivalry as seminaries. And as I was walking around this very important seminary, because it is, has some great history to it, there was a big plaque on it saying that in 1812, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church made this the first Presbyterian seminary for church workers. And I went, Pittsburgh started in 1794. So there always has been this little rivalry about who started first, and we always call ourselves the PTS, they're the other PTS, we're the original one. And so there is that little kind of controversy, but also it kind of falls into this category of, but what is really true? What is true about who was first, Princeton or Pittsburgh? And you could probably debate that and go through the technicalities of who is technically the first seminary in the United States. But, you know, it comes down to an even bigger question that we all face. What is true? What is truth? And particularly in our era of life and the culture that we live in, that is a huge, ambiguous question, because what's true for me may not be true for you. And that goes around all over the place, and people say that all the time, but I'm not sure that they understand what they're saying. Because then if it's not true for you, then it's not true. And so there is then no real truth, if that's the theory. And so somehow, some way, there is this sense of truth in the world. So today we're looking at the one great end of the church, the calling for us as Presbyterians to do this perseverance, preserving the truth. That's our call, to preserve the truth. And so the banner that we have today is kind of a simple banner. It has it's a long streak and it's kind of dark. And that long streak that is on the lower right-hand corner is a symbol of the light coming into the darkness, the truth of light. And the dove, as well, is a reminder that one of those truths and the major truth that we have is the gospel of Jesus Christ and how that light came into the world for the world. And so as we talk about this truth, and also I think a couple other truths that I think are important for us as a congregation, we are to remember that it was and is a light that comes into a dark world. But the question comes back to us is, what does it mean for us to preserve the preservation of truth? When I hear the word preserve, I think of a jar full of peaches. Okay, something you keep and you fix and you put on a shelf for some time later. And this old word that they use in 1910 probably doesn't fit real well for us, because when we talk about preservation, we talk about fixing something or doing something to keep it the way it was. If you preserve a house or preserve a car or preserve a memento that you have of an important part of your life, you put it away. You make sure that nobody changes it. You make sure no one hurts it or affects it, because it holds a memory and maybe a truth for you, but it just sits there. And all of us kind of have those things that we remember, those mementos, those things that we preserve that, you know, if somebody said, "Oh, what's this?" and wants to throw it away, we're like, whoa, no, that's important. Because we want to preserve it. I don't think this is what is meant by preserving the truth, by taking the truth and just setting it up on a shelf real nice and pretty and keeping it there and saying, "Ooh, look at that," every once in a while. What the people of our church were talking about, I think, for us is a perpetuation, a movement, a continuation of bringing out the truth in our society. And in 1910, that was hard. In 2016, it's still hard. Because sometimes when we as Christians say we think this is truth, we become somewhat persecuted, someone looked down upon, because we are maybe narrow-minded. We haven't been tolerant or accepting of other people's views in one sense. And so there is, in a sense, yes, truth, but also there is an ingredient of grace that we need to have when we think about our truths. So that begs us to think, what is the truth that we are called to perpetuate, the truth that we are called to continue out into this world, to preserve for all generations? That's a tough question. Now, to underscore how tough that is, when any of you become ordained as elder or deacon in this church or as a minister, we have to answer this question that we promise to uphold the essential tenets of the Reformed faith. But you know what? Nowhere in the Presbyterian Church USA do we define what is an essential tenet. But we're going to defend them. What are they? You know, and that's been a kind of a discussion that's gone on throughout the General Assembly and Presbytery. You know, why are we even saying we're doing this when we don't even agree about what they are? But for me, I think, and again, you know, as truth goes, I think that there's like four main essential tenets that are not just true for the Reformed Church, us Presbyterians, but I think for all Christians. The first one is the authority of Scripture. Now, this can be a touchy issue, because does that mean we take everything that is said in here literally? Then a lot of us wouldn't have hands or eyes, because Jesus says, you know, if you steal or lust, pluck out your eye, cut off your hand. So no, we don't take all this literally. But do we look at it as an authoritative reference of who God is? This is God's revelation of who God is for our world. And when we read it, we don't just read about Joshua or David or Gomer or Sarah. We don't just read about the apostles. We read about who God is. And so for us, as Christians, one of the truths that we have is this is a revelation of God. It is an authority. When we read it, we don't just dismiss it, but we begin to think and talk about what does this mean for us? What does it mean when the Bible says today, as we read it, and the truth will set you free? What does that mean? And so as a community, we come together and we look at it. We don't just dismiss it saying, oh, that's just a cute saying. But that it has life. It has revelation for us. And then another essential tenet for us as Christians is that we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we believe in one God. That there is a God who created us, a God who has forgiven us, a God who guides and directs us in our lives each and every day, a source of our life. Now, here's one that we don't like, and a lot of people don't like, too, but I think it is an essential tenet of the Reformed faith, as well as most Christians, the status of us as humans. We were created in God's image, righteous and holy, but I think the women talked about Eve today. We also are disobedient. And God has brought sin and death upon humanity and all creation. That means that we are separate from God. And so that's kind of hard in this era when we're trying to uplift and affirm everybody in every possible way. And when the church is saying, no, yes, we need to be, we're God, creations of God, but also we're disobedient. There is sin in our lives. There are things that we do wrong and things that are wrong around us that we need to be aware of. And finally, as I mentioned him already, but as Christians, one of our tenets is that we believe in Jesus Christ. That Christ is unique among all humans in history. That Christ was the Son of God and fully human. Something, you know, here's the thing about truth. When we say something is true, we automatically say, okay, well, then you can prove it. Or here's empirical proof of this. And trying to prove someone was fully God and fully human at the same time, theologians have been trying to do that for a millennium. And everyone has failed. It is a mystery. And sometimes truth is clouded around a mystery that we need to accept. Even if we don't completely and fully understand it. So those tenets. We believe that the authority of the Bible. We believe in one God. We believe in the status of humanity as being created by God, but yet we separated ourselves from God. And we believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, fully human, fully man, and gave us salvation through God's grace. Now, so those are just four truths, you know, and kind of friends of mine said, the rest of it's all fluff. Everything else is fluff, okay? If we can hold on to these four things, this is where we find that we will find, set ourselves true. And if we preserve these essential tenets, it doesn't mean we just set them up on a shelf or write them in just a little confessional statement and take them home, but it calls us now to live them out, to learn more about them. And the way that we perpetuate this is through the Sunday school, through our Bible studies, through this time of worship, through the intercourse that we have with each other as we talk about what does this stuff mean to me? And we continue to share that. This perpetuation, this preservation of the truth is not apologetics. While apologetics has its place in proving different aspects of our faith and makes for great discussion and scholarly looking, you know, scholarly works, this is not about just apologetics. We're not called to go and prove we're right, to prove to someone that Jesus is the Son of God. But through our lives, through our conversation, through the hope and joy that we have in Christ, we're called to live that out. That when someone sees us and sees the way that we live, they realize there is a truth in us that they cannot explain, and hopefully that they want. So it's not so much for us to prove it. Thomas Aquinas centuries and millennia ago tried to do that, saying, here are nine proofs of God, and everybody has discounted all those truths over history. It's not so much about us proving it, but it's about us living it out. Being a people of these essential tenets, being a people who live out this truth for each of for us and for the world today. Now, quiz. Speaking of truth, speaking of maybe even apologetics, does anybody know what the specialness of today is? Anybody? I got two hands because you heard me. What is it, Jill? Reformation Sunday. This is a day that Martin Luther nailed 95 theses on a church door in Germany, Wittenberg, I think, the Wittenberg door, proving that, discounting a lot of what Catholicism was saying at the time and beginning the Reformation. And so there was a time in which Martin Luther stood up for the truth about Jesus Christ and about what God calls us to be as his people, and it got him in a lot of trouble. He had to run for his life most of the time. He was in hiding, but he was willing to stand up for his truth. And he said this, and I found this kind of quote from Martin Luther, and there's some bizarre quotes that particularly you women wouldn't like about Martin Luther. So, but here's what he says here. There is no wisdom save in truth. Truth is everlasting, but our ideas about truth are changeable. Only a little of the first fruits of wisdom, only a few fragments of the boundless heights and breadth and depths of truth have I been able to gather. So for me, Martin Luther, who was this incredible, intelligent man, knew that these truths were out there. But he hadn't grasped them all. That wisdom was part of it. And living out these truths, it's not just that they're true, but there's a mystery around those truths, and a mystery that calls us to live in those truths, whether we are here in this building or out in our everyday lives. Let's pray. God, we come before you on this Reformation Sunday, giving thanks for the truth that you have given to us that is in Jesus Christ, calling us to be people of Christ, followers of Christ, in this world of sharing our faith and what we believe to be true through your grace and salvation, through your word that we have here today, to be your people, to be examples of that truth, to use the wisdom that you have given to us through your Holy Spirit to shine this truth in this dark world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.